Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. We're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. We have an email here from Sammy.
Subject is low GPA plus foreign bachelors. Hi, I have a GPA of 3.1 or 3.2 based on online conversion scales from a French university. My course was in English, which is my native language, and I majored in poli-sci and law, with the latter focused on constitutional law and climate change litigation. I would like to go to law school next year, in the autumn of 2024. By prepping the right way and not settling for a low LSAT score, would I be able to attend a good law school in the U.S.? By good, I personally would be very happy with UT Austin, Vanderbilt, UNC Chapel Hill, USC, or even Wash U or Minnesota. So we're talking about a whole bunch of schools that are right outside the top 14. Schools,
yep.
I think we're talking about schools in the high teens, 20s, maybe 30s.
Yep.
But from one of your last videos, it sounded as if a legal career was only worth it if you go to a T14 and only financially prosperous if you attend a T14.
I don't think we've ever said that.
I hope we did not give that impression. That is not at all what we're trying to get across.
Yeah. Oops.
Please let me know, as I would love to study law, focusing on fintech and IP law. Though my low chances of attending a T14 due to underwhelming academic performance at undergrad, lack of professional experience, and apparently low employment chances if I don't attend a T14, which we never said, are confusing me. I'm sorry you're confused, Sammy. I'm glad you wrote in. First thing that comes to mind is that I'm not sure that schools are even going to look at your foreign GPA.
That's a good point.
I think that foreign applicants, in a lot of cases, you don't even get an LSAC GPA. So have you registered for a credential assembly service account? Did they ask you for transcripts? Did you upload those transcripts? And if you have they calculated an LSAC GPA for you? I think, though, that many times, in fact, maybe all the time, foreign applicants just don't even get an LSAC UGPA. We might be wrong about that. You can always email us daily at LSATdemon.com. If we're wrong, we'll run a correction. But yeah, I think your 3.1 or 3.2 might just not even matter. You said you're using online conversion scales, but I don't know that those are actually going to be like reflect what your LSAC GPA is going to be.
I mean, it does sound like the foreign bachelor's is on a 4-point scale, which might make it possible to get a LSAC GPA. So
no, but I don't think so. I don't think that's true. I think that's already calculated.
Oh, that's
based
the converted
on
number
online conversion
from
scales.
Some other. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
I think you're going to be, Sammy, I think you're going to be an applicant who is applying without a GPA. If you look at schools 509 reports, that's the ABA 509 report. Easiest way to look at that, by the way, is to go to LSATdemon.com/scholarships. And we have a link right on the right hand side, the little PDF icon links to the 509 report for every school. You will see some segment of the class that's applying without a GPA. And I think that is largely foreign applicants who they had grades on some other scale. And if it's graded on some other scale, I think that for law school admissions purposes, there is no conversion. It's going to be your LSAT and that's it.
Yep. So that opens up the T14 right there. Now you can just get the best LSAT score you can get and go wherever you want.
Yeah, and it is definitely not true that a legal career is only worth it if you go to a T14. Absolutely not.
In fact, we're telling people all the time to go below the T14
to not go
and
to
go
a
T14. For free.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Get a killer LSAT, and lots of these schools are probably going to offer you scholarship money. I mean, Wash U is just the famous, they're hungry for big LSAT scores, and they give full ride scholarships for people who get the right LSAT scores. And if you're geographically flexible and you're willing to go to places like Minnesota, put Iowa on your list. Iowa is another big scholarship giver. I mean, you might discover that you hate living in Iowa or Minnesota or Missouri.
It's also three years and then it's over and you just have no
true.
Dad. So.
True. Yeah. But no, you can be a successful practicing attorney going to ABA accredited schools definitely produce successful practicing lawyers for some percentage of their population, some percentage of their graduates. It's probably like 50% at many schools that they actually end up successfully practicing law, but 50% is not zero.
Yeah.
You just got to pay attention to how much money you're paying to do this. Like at the school you're going to, you need to look at the real employment outcomes for that school and figure out if that school is going to get you where you want to go at the price you want to pay.
Yep.
Sorry for misleading you and making you think that you have to go to a T14 or that you have to study big law in order to be a successful lawyer. I don't even really personally know successful big law lawyers, because if you're a successful big law lawyer, you don't really have a social life.
Yep.
In most cases.
Yeah.
The lawyers that I know that are practicing successfully are not in big law, actually. And they're also not, you know, they're not killing it. They're probably not making six figures, or maybe they're barely making six figures after 10 years of practice. But, you know, making a six figure salary, if you're doing work that you love, that can totally be a win. I don't know what is important to you and your family. I don't know what financially prosperous means to you.
Yeah. You also have to be really careful. When you say financially prosperous, you might be thinking about, hey, an attorney who's making $200,000 has to be financially prosperous. But there are always two sides of the financial equation. There's the money coming in and there's the money going out. And a lot of attorneys who are making $200,000 instantly turn around and throw that money all away. They burn it on things like cars and suits and all that other shit that they feel like they have to get to compete in that world. And if you're earning 200 and you're spending 210, you're worse than someone who's making 80 and spending 70. So
yeah, obviously.
Obviously, but is it obvious? Because like,
right.
So many Americans instantly fall into that trap. They are stressed out and making a shit ton of money. And they thought at one point in their life, if I only made this much money, I would be set. But they instantly turn around and fall into the trap of taking out loans for cars and all the other garbage. I mean, I know that's not what you're asking about, but financially prosperous does not mean, oh, I make a big salary, therefore I'm done.
No, you can make $80,000 a year and not have a car payment. The same person, or the person who's making $200,000 a year, could have a gigantic car payment. And, you know, the second they get close to paying off their car, they might just go get another car payment. That's like the American way. Or they're leasing.
Yeah. Did you know the average car payment right now is $1,200?
Fuck. What?
Yeah.
That's the average car payment that people actually have?
Yes, because interest rates have gone up and because of supply with cars, car prices have gone up. And so you put those two things together, and for whatever reason, America's foolish fetish with taking out car loans, that's the average.
I buy all my cars at CarMax. I'm not a car guy.
Yeah.
And I hate car dealerships.
Yep.
And I buy all my cars at CarMax because then I don't have to negotiate at all. So my last car, I bought a used 4Runner. It was really expensive because used cars apparently have been high in demand and all that. But I went in and I wrote a check. I had money in my account and I went in and I bought a used car and I paid a shit ton for it. But man, I feel way better, you know, about that now that I realize that the average person is paying a $1,200 a month payment on a car. So in a year, you're making You're paying $14,400 a year.
Yeah.
To have that car when you could have paid cash for a car. I mean, you're not going to get a great car for $14,000 cash, but you're going to get a totally serviceable vehicle for that amount of money.
Yeah. It's
damn.
It's keeping up with people around you. What people don't realize is that someone driving a Tesla is not necessarily well off or financially prosperous, as Sammy puts it. It's very possible that they're just totally in debt.
Oh, the more you display your wealth, probably the less, you know,
you actually have.
Yeah. Right. I mean, Warren Buffett always talked about his house in Omaha with the cracked sidewalks out front. And, you know, that's like, he's one of the richest people in the world, but he still lives in this modest house in Omaha. And it's like, you don't get to be wealthy by being a spendthrift. You get to be wealthy by being, by saving and by not spending more than you make. I agree that the big law firm culture, I mean, they want you to spend money. They don't want you to be financially savvy. They don't want you to
be responsible. Then you depend on them. Yeah,
exactly. They want you to make $200,000 and spend $210,000.
Yep.
Because they want you to be beholden to them. That's how they get you to work 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
So
you can't imagine leaving, because it's like, oh shit, if I leave, I can't afford this fucking house that I actually couldn't afford before, but people made you believe that you could.
Right. Because why not? I mean, once you're there in the firm and you have this huge income, then like, banks will loan you way too much money to go buy way too much house. You're going to need the fancy suits and the fancy cars. You start developing a taste for fancy wine and shit like that. You know, it's just like, let's find ways to just burn money.
Yep.
And they're very happy for you to be in the habit of burning money. They're going to pay you a lot, but they want you to need that money.
Yep.
Brutal. Email daily@lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.